A federal judge yesterday sentencing Barry Cadden, who was convicted of racketeering and mail fraud charges after his company sent out tainted drugs that sickened over 750 people, killing 76 of them.
Can you at least give us an explanation as to why the cameras are off?
Yeah, some days will happen, some days we won't.
The tension's only been rising in the White House briefing room over the off-camera briefings that spokesman Sean Spicer's been giving. Just like on Friday when Spicer called an off-camera briefing, he was challenged repeatedly yesterday by CNN's Jim Acosta.
Can you answer whether the president still believes the question?
There's no camera on, Jim.
Maybe we should turn the cameras on, Sean. Why don't we turn the cameras on? Why don't we turn the cameras on? Why not turn the cameras on, Sean? They're in the room. The lights are on.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for pre1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre1933.com.
A new bill that would keep airlines from being able to forcibly remove passengers from flights working its way through Congress now. The proposal followed that high-profile incident involving United Airlines earlier this year, where a man was dragged off a flight. The bill would also privatize air traffic control. The Transportation and Infrastructure Committee is set to vote on the bill today before passing it on to the full House and Senate. The Supreme Court is upholding California's 100-year-old concealed gun permit law.
The big legal question has been, well, what about outside the home? Is there a right to carry a gun outside? What about concealed carry? The court had a big invitation to take that issue up today from California, and it declined to do so.
That's a justice correspondent for NBC, Pete Williams, explaining that the court yesterday decided not to hear an appeal by gun rights groups challenging a law that requires obtaining a permit from law enforcement to carry firearms in public in California. And your wallpaper might be making you sick. That's what a new French study indicates, saying there are lots of toxins from fungus growing on wallpaper. Researchers say when they become airborne, they cause symptoms similar to allergies and flu, and they could include headaches, itchy eyes, dry skin, dizziness. The study says it's another aspect of what's called sick building syndrome. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning, this is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's 11:04 on Tuesday, June 27th, here in downtown Flemington. It is 69 degrees. The weather today is partly sunny with a high near 77. A chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m. today is possible. Light southwest wind increasing 5 to 9 miles per hour later in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 30%. Tonight, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m. Mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming clear with a low around 51. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny with a high near 80, and Wednesday evening, mostly clear with a low around 55. Thursday, a slight chance of showers after 1 p.m., but mostly sunny with a high near 86. Light south wind becoming southwest 6 to 11 miles per hour in the morning, and chance of precipitation is 20%. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy with a low around 66. Friday and through the weekend, a chance of showers and additional thunderstorms. Mostly sunny, highs near 91 on Friday. On Saturday, again, highs near 91. And on Sunday, highs near 86. All weekend long, chance of precipitation is about 50%. Hopefully the rain will stay away. We'll have one more commercial break, and then we'll be back with Joe Patton with some things about money.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good morning. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Patton, Heidi & Associates, with me, Tony Clark, on the board, and you are listening to Some Things About Money. Good morning, Tony. We're having a great day today. I think lots to talk about. We had some numbers come out as it related to consumer confidence, U.S. home prices, and I think we'll talk a little bit more about the home sales numbers that came out at the end of the week. And then, of course, we'll discuss some earnings, a little bit about what's going on in Germany. We have more information about numbers because, again, we love talking about numbers. In fact, MFS provided us with more by-the-numbers information, so it'll be trivia time by the end of the show. There's also an interesting article that I'm going to run through later in the show as it relates to an expansion of the fiduciary responsibilities of certified financial planners. Now, why would I do that? Well, other than the fact that both Michelle and I are certified financial planners, we happen to believe that credentials matter. And working as a fiduciary, in other words, working in the client's best interest as opposed to the company's best interest, is something that we strongly believe in. So we want to talk more about that process and how it relates to you. But before we begin, we want to do what we always do at the top of the show, and that is talk about market performance. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 21,435, up over 26 points, almost 27. The S&P 500 up just under 1 point. The NASDAQ down over 15. Lagger today. The FTSE overseas, that is down 0.1%. The DAX is down 0.6, as is the CAC in France. Looking at oil prices, oil is currently up 94 cents a barrel to $44.32. Gold is up $2, almost $2.30 at $1,248.70 an ounce. And the 10-year Treasury yield is now at 2.195%. So U.S. Treasuries dipping lower as bond investors are awaiting Fed speeches. Aren't we always awaiting a Fed speech? But it is what it is. So we talked about consumer confidence, Tony. It hit 118.9 in June versus the 116 estimate. So we outdrove the expectations, and that is according to the conference board. They announced that this morning. Economists were expecting the index to drop slightly to 116 for the month of June, according to Thomson Reuters. That was their consensus estimates. Last month, the index dropped to 117.9, down from its April reading. The consumer confidence survey is conducted for the conference board by Nielsen. Sticking with our home theme, U.S. home prices, well, they just grew 5.5% in April, which slightly missed analyst expectations. The U.S., again, that was according to the S&P Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Survey Price Index. The nation's home price index increased that 5.5% versus the 5.8% in March. The analysts were expecting 5.9% for the month. The widely tracked 20-city home price index rose 5.7% from April 2016. In March, you know, its yearly gain was 5.9. That was the sharpest gain since July of 2014. Let's see here. Seattle, Portland, Oregon, Dallas. Well, they reported the highest year-over-year gains in April. Cleveland reported the smallest gain of 3.4%. David M. Blitzer, who is the managing director and chair of the index committee at S&P Dow Jones Indices, said the April increases in prices shows demand for homes is rising, but the supply of homes is hardly keeping up. According to Blitzer, the question is not if home prices can climb without any limit. They can't. Rather, will home prices gain slowly, or will they crash and take the economy down with them? Not a pretty thought. For the moment, conditions appear favorable for avoiding a crash. Now, the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Indices is a monthly report published on the last Tuesday of each month. It tracks the prices of typical single-family homes located in each of the metropolitan areas provided. Other news as it relates to homes. Looking at Ameriprise, we have some information here about the stronger-than-expected new home sales, and that is showing ongoing strength in the segment. Friday's Census Department report on new home sales showed a much better-than-expected sales rate for the month of May. That was 610,000 versus the 590,000 expected on an annualized basis. Prior month numbers were also revised considerably higher. Low initial reports followed by subsequent upward revisions has been a common theme that we've noticed in a number of government releases over the past few months, construction spending and retail sales, amongst others. This was again the case on Friday as new home sales figures for March and April were each revised higher by an average of 24,000. Overall, we believe demand for new homes remains very strong, but constraints on labor supply and land availability are leaving builders with limited ability to expand. This is ultimately leading builders to focus on the upper price points in the market where they can make the most money, thus leaving affordable housing deeply underserved. Unfortunately, this does not seem to be a problem that will be resolved over the short term. Sufficient availability at upper price points, however, should eventually entice builders down the price point scale, but this is likely to be a slow evolution in our view. So, that is... Well, let's see. We have more about housing. Let's talk a little bit about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I noticed here on CNBC that in the Senate, a Republican and a Democrat, they're actually working on a bipartisan deal to change the housing finance industry. Tennessee Republican Bob Corker and Virginia Democrat Mark Warner are considering a plan that would split up Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, according to Bloomberg. The government took control of the two companies back in 2008 when the housing market collapsed and has since pumped in $187.5 billion into them. Wow. The lawmakers are debating splitting Fannie and Freddie's single-family businesses and multifamily businesses, which finances apartment rentals, those types of things, sources to Bloomberg have said. From there, they could continue to divide the single-family businesses into smaller companies. Fannie and Freddie back more than $4 trillion in housing securities, according to Bloomberg. Lawmakers have worried that the size of the two companies encourages taxpayer-funded bailouts if they run into trouble. Now, why would anybody think that? Well, I guess you would call that our housing segment. It's time for our first break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what's been going on in the earnings sector, what Ameriprise, their Global Asset Allocation Committee, has to say about the different U.S. and global regions from a tactical perspective, and talk a little bit more. Maybe we can even discuss the healthcare reform, or whatever that is called at this point. I noticed that they're expecting quite a few people to lose health care. I think it has something to do with bringing back the qualifications to previously held standards that dealt with Medicaid recipients being unable to work, therefore they would have to be taken care of, as opposed to it making it an income consideration. So we don't know where you stand on the issue. Fact of the matter is, the way it was scored by the CBO, they're calling for millions of people losing health care. I would hope that in the interim we would create job training programs to take care of all of those people who are unemployed or underemployed who are able to work and either could find health care through an employer or who could afford it on their own, as opposed to putting out the hand and waiting for the government to grease it. But when we come back, we'll talk more about some things about money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back. Just a reminder that opinions provided by the host are not necessarily the opinions or belief of Ameriprise or the Chamber of Commerce. And unless specifically stated otherwise, comments contained in the articles that are provided and the information provided during the show, again, are not to be construed as investment opinion or recommendations of any securities that may or may not be mentioned. So, let's take a look a little bit about second quarter earnings. With the second quarter ending this week, investors should soon focus their attention on the next round of corporate earnings reports, and they are scheduled to start in mid-July. Energy Information Technology is expected to report the second highest year-over-year per share growth during the second quarter, with six of seven sub-industries predicted to report earnings per share growth, and that's per fact set. In our view, the view of Ameriprise, with the large run-in performance among tech names this year and the uneven performance as of late, investors will be looking to earnings reports next month for price validation within the sector. Additionally, financials are expected to see the third highest year-over-year earnings growth in quarter number two among the 11 S&P 500 sectors. Four of five financial subsectors are expected to post positive growth, Nevertheless, insurance is the only subsector expected to post double-digit earnings per share growth in quarter number two. If the subsector is excluded, expectations for second quarter earnings per share growth of financials would fall from 6.8% year-over-year to 3.8%. From a valuation perspective, however, financials are one of the least expensive sectors in the S&P 500, both from a relative standpoint and in relation to its own history. On the opposite side of the equation, consumer discretionary and utilities are both anticipated to post negative year-over-year earnings per share growth in quarter number two, and evidenced by embedded FactSet charts, which I get to see, but you don't. It is radio, after all. For consumer discretionary, autos are expected to be the largest detractor to second quarter earnings per share growth, and if excluded, would boost growth for the sector to negative 0.3% year-over-year from negative 2.3%. On the revenue side, 10 of 11 sectors are expected to post positive sales growth in quarter number two, with telecom the lone decliner. At current price levels, we believe second quarter earnings season will be of particular importance to investors and help shape the direction of equity prices over the remainder of the summer months. On a side note, taking a look overseas, more so south of us, Brazil's president, Michael Temer, has been indicted as a taped conversation discussing bribes with a businessman led to Brazil's prosecutor general filing charges in its Supreme Court. Under Brazil's constitution, the Supreme Court must now send the indictment to the lower house of Congress, where a two-thirds majority vote is needed to send the case to trial. Recall, Temer has came to power only last year, and following the impeachment of former President Dilma Rousseff, who violated budgetary laws. So it looks like Brazil's trouble continues across the region. Looking over at Europe, they're trading mostly lower midday. On the corporate front, the European Union fined Google. We saw that 2.4 billion euros in an antitrust lawsuit that found the company abuses dominance in search. After a seven-year probe, the European Union concluded that the company's near monopoly on search gave it an illegal advantage for its own shopping service, per the Financial Times. The European Union court decision could have lasting effects on the tech sector as well as the transatlantic relations. Separately, the European Central Bank President Mario Draghi, in a speech, said inflationary forces are replacing deflationary forces in the Eurozone, but stressed that the economic conditions would need to improve before adjusting policy. Draghi indicated that factors currently weighing on inflation were likely temporary, and that a considerable degree of accommodation is still required to sustain inflationary dynamics. Lastly, the Bank of England raised the capital requirements for UK banks to about 0.5%, stating pockets of risk in areas such as consumer credit warrant more vigilance. So a little bit about earnings, both in the U.S. and in Europe. Well, let's see. We have healthcare. That's always fun to discuss. The Senate version to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, well, it's projected to lower most Americans' premiums and save the U.S. government about $320 billion over the next decade, but also cause 22 million more people to go without health care coverage under the current law. That's according to the Congressional Budget Office. The CBO score could pave the way for a floor vote in the Senate this week. However, at least three Senate Republicans plan to oppose the motion to proceed to debate on the bill, suggesting additional negotiation regarding the parameters of the bill. That would be likely. The latest CBO score is a slight improvement on the plan the House passed in May, which projected 23 million fewer people with insurance in 10 years versus the current law with budget savings of $119 billion. Conversely, the average premium paid for benchmark plans is projected to decline 20% a decade from now, largely because states could waive certain health benefit requirements and insurance would pay for a smaller average share of the benefits. The $320 billion in savings over the next decade is far more than the House bill earned because of Medicaid changes that begin halfway through the next decade. The White House criticized the CBO report, saying the scorekeeper has consistently proven it cannot accurately predict how health care legislation would impact insurance coverage. The administration stated the CBO originally projected that 24 million people would be in exchanges created by the Affordable Care Act in 2016, while the actual number turned out to be about 11 million. As is the case with most contentious legislation, health care reform remains fluid, with any agreement in the Senate to then go to conference with the House even before the White House negotiates its priorities. So it does appear that we continue to be a ways away from getting any type of new health care legislation. I find it interesting, you know, listening to the shows over the weekend, that every time you listen to a Democratic pundit, they kept talking about how, you know, Congress, the Republicans, are looking to kill people, or they're going to cut Medicare. There are no cuts recommended to Medicare or Medicaid. What they're doing is they're decreasing the rate of growth in spending to them, which is significantly different than a cut. But then again, if you're looking to make political points, yeah, the truth sometimes is a victim to, you know, one's rationale. But it doesn't make a lot of sense. The other thing that always drove me a bit crazy about Obamacare, and maybe you could help me out with this, Tony, do you know of any type of insurance that you don't have to own before the event? In other words, if, you know, you go out and you crash your car coming out of Mine Street here over by the chamber offices and you don't have insurance, you can immediately call an insurance company and buy auto insurance that would cover the crash that you just had? I don't think so. So how does it make sense to allow people to forego paying for insurance? And these are the younger people who are supposed to be in the plan to help offset the costs. That never happened. Because you're telling them, well, yeah, we're going to fine you, but you really don't have to own it until there's a health issue. Then you can go out and buy the insurance, and the insurance will cover the health issue that you've already had, that pre-existing condition. I don't know. I would think that, you know, having risk pools to cover large ticket item illnesses would seem to be a better way to go, but I can't imagine any company staying in business very long operating that way. Why would anyone expect that health insurers wouldn't continue to drop out of the program as long as that mandate was there? It's just crazy stuff. I mean, I believe that everyone should have insurance, but, wow, it just doesn't make any sense to do it that way. Yeah, I like the idea personally, and this is my opinion, that we should have some type of a Medicare Plus or Medicaid Plus plan in place to provide basic insurance coverage to individuals and families. But as far as the catastrophic stuff, that's entirely different. And if you want the ability to go out and pick and choose, then go out and pay for a policy that allows you a better, more comprehensive level of coverage. So I guess what I'm saying is, why can't we combine both? You know, provide for the doctor's visits, the wellness care, the, you know, the scrapes and the cuts and the broken bones, and then have a different plan that would cover cancer, heart disease, things of that nature. So people wouldn't have to worry about covering the full boat premium. They could just focus, you know, their discretionary dollars on the things that are most catastrophic. My understanding is that over in England right now, you have a single-payer program, national health insurance, but the largest growing segment of the healthcare sector is private insurance. So people over there have come to understand that they need more than just what's being provided by the government. They want choice. They want the ability to not have to stand in line, to be able to negotiate more superior services. They want that freedom. And I don't hear enough of that conversation taking place here by our government. So with that said, we are going to take another break and pay some bills. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Ameriprise Global Asset Allocation Committee recommendations, maybe even touch on German business confidence, as well as talk about that fiduciary standard being expanded by the CFP board. And then when we have some time at the end of the show, we'll talk a little bit about Buy the Numbers, courtesy of MFS. You are listening to Some Things About Money.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Trump administration warning that the Syrian regime will pay a heavy price if it carries out another chemical weapons attack. A White House statement saying Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's forces appear to be preparing for a chemical weapons attack like one back in April. Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware reacting a bit negatively to the White House statement.
Frankly, this threat of renewed action against Assad for his potential use of chemical weapons again against his own people is a reminder that we are still waiting for a strategy from President Trump.
The deadly poison gas attack in April is what prompted President Trump to then order airstrikes against the military air base in Syria, where the poison gas attack originated. Meanwhile, Russia's responding, denouncing the U.S. warning to Syria and claiming that there's no sign Syrian forces are preparing any such attack. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, otherwise known as Mr. Relentless. I even wrote the book, The Power of Relentless. And to be relentless, you need to take care of your heart, your brain, your energy. That's why I take Super Ubiquinol CoQ10 from Life Extension. It's a powerful antioxidant that supports heart health. CoQ10 is also essential to cellular energy production. The energy-producing cells inside your body need CoQ10 to power essential organs like your heart and brain, and Super Ubiquinol CoQ10 absorbs better than other CoQ10 supplements. And I have a special deal for you. Right now, you can get Super Ubiquinol CoQ10 at half off. Half off, but only if you tell them War, Wayne Allyn Root sent you. Plus, you'll get a complimentary bottle of vitamin D3, plus free shipping and handling, plus a free 6-month subscription to Life Extension Magazine. Just say War, Wayne Allyn Root sent you. Call toll-free 855-870-6622, 855-870-6622, 855-870-6622, or go to lifeextension.com/war. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Tony Clark, and we're back with Some Things About Money, and this is our little quick weather break. It is 11:33 a.m. on Tuesday, June 27th, and we're in Flemington, New Jersey, where the weather is 69 degrees. It is beautiful out there, mostly cloudy, though, with a little bit of sun in the sky. Later on tonight, it will be mostly cloudy, continuing, then gradually becoming clear around 51 degrees in the evening. Tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny with a high near 80, northwest wind 3 to 8 miles per hour. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 55. Thursday, slight chance of showers. Afternoon, mostly sunny with a high near 86. And Thursday evening, a slight chance of showers and some thunderstorms. Partly cloudy with a low around 66. Friday, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly sunny with a high near 91. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 70. Saturday and Sunday, additional chances of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny and the highs in the near 90s, in the low 90s, rather. Chance of precipitation is 40%. I'm going to turn it over to Joe with Some Things About Money.
And we are back. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton, Heidi & Associates. We are located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale, New Jersey. It is a beautiful day today. Why aren't we at the beach? Or at least, heck, I'm not on the golf course. It's because we have so much to discuss here. People are just waiting to hear all of these little tidbits. And again, a lot of this are the opinions of the host and of the research group of Ameriprise, not to be taken as specific recommendations for your portfolio. We are not making any recommendations on specific products or services. And none of the information that we are providing is endorsed specifically by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. So that being said, the Ameriprise Global Asset Allocation Committee has information as related to their tactical view, and this has not been changed now for a few months, but I will repeat it again because it does bear repeating. For the U.S. sector, what they are currently recommending as of their last report would be an overweight position for energy, financials, healthcare, and information technology with equal weightings on telecom, industrials, underweighting in consumer staples, utilities, and real estate. Taking a look at the committee's recommendations as far as the global equity region goes, the only region that they are currently overweight in continues to be the United States. They are equal weight in Canada, Latin America, and the Asia-Pacific region, excluding Japan. Actually, they are equal weight in Japan itself. They are underweight Middle East, Africa, and the UK. Wondering if that has something to do with Brexit. So that's what the weightings as far as the Global Asset Allocation Committee at Ameriprise. German business confidence hit an all-time high, the index did this month. The record high is particularly notable given that the survey has been in existence since 1969. Recent trends in business confidence and other economic measures come as a welcome development for Chancellor Angela Merkel, who, by the way, has a PhD in physical chemistry. And a lot of people don't realize that. Very bright lady. And her Democratic Union Party, ahead of the national elections in September. There's no doubt that Germany enjoys the strongest economy in the Eurozone. It's attractive business and labor environment. And the reason, I guess, it's attractive is the laws regarding such have been overhauled after reunification. That combined with a high savings rate and relatively low government debt, hint, enables the country to enjoy a lower currency value and more accommodative monetary policy than it otherwise would if it were still under the Deutschmark. Importantly, rising business confidence in Europe is not just a German story. The European Commission's economic sentiment measures from the 19-country zone is also near a 10-year high, amid fairly consistent evidence of modestly stronger growth. It should also not be overlooked that this was the first June in many that did not feature a Greek default drama. Earlier this month, Greece was able to convince its creditors that it remained on the right path for creditors to release the next tranche of previously agreed upon financial aid. This year, the Eurozone in aggregate is expected, per Bloomberg consensus, to see real GDP growth of 1.8%, thus matching the rate achieved in 2016. Last year's pace was more than double the five-year average of 0.7%. Additionally, at the recent 9.3% number, the zone's unemployment rate is at an eight-year low. The region still faces many economic challenges, most notably Brexit, and of course there are implications there, and a pending end to the ECB quantitative easing efforts later this year. But generally speaking, the region seems to have found its footing. So Germany is doing extremely well. Now, we talked earlier about a discussion, about the CFP board looking to raise standards. Well, that's been drawing praise, but it does carry some risk as well. Mark Schaff put an article together talking about industry strategies. A proposal by the CFP board to extend fiduciary duty to all certified financial planners, including brokers who hold the mark, garnered praise from individual planners and industry reps, even as planners highlighted the risks involved last Tuesday. The Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards released a draft code of ethics and standards of conduct to update CFP policies for the first time since 2009. Under the new rules, CFPs would have to act in the best interest of clients at all times while providing investment advice, not just while constructing financial plans, as was the case in the past. Now, that's a pretty bold step, commented Rick Kaler, a CFP and owner of Kaler Financial Group in Rapid City, South Dakota. Rick was stating that they've tried it to have it both ways. They've tried to serve the sales constituents and the fiduciary constituents. And that, of course, has caused a lot of confusion for both consumers and practitioners. Now, the CFP board acted less than 2 weeks after partial implementation of the Department of Labor's fiduciary rule, which requires financial advisors to act in the best interest of their clients in retirement accounts. Now, while the DOL rule remains under review and could be changed, the Securities and Exchange Commission has put out a request for comment while mulling its own financial fiduciary standard for retail investment advice. Now, that's a big step forward, and it has been applauded. The CFP board has been applauded for extending the fiduciary standard to the financial advice component of the engagement with a client. The revision, of course, is meant to close a loophole that allowed CFPs to adhere to a fiduciary standard during planning, but switch to a less stringent suitability standard, which governs brokers when selling investment products. Many of the approximately 77,000 CFPs in the United States are brokers, and the change in the advice standard could alienate some of them. It means they are going to lose a lot of CFPs, according to Kaler. One CFP broker is not fazed and was commented as saying, we should act like a fiduciary regardless of what our title is. And that was according to Levent Dumas, a broker at Charles Schwab in McLean, Virginia. He stated that it's something you have to do anyway. And I like that sentiment. It's something that I truly believe in myself. Now, the article goes on to state comments from Shannon J. Pike, president of the Financial Planning Association, is not sure how the brokers who are among the nearly 24,000 FPA members will react, but he backs a proposal. Commented what the CFP board is doing is good for the profession. A critic of the CFP board's current fiduciary formulation said the organization has a long way to go. CFPs are reminded of an interesting Grand Canyon gap between the CFP board standards and a bona fide fiduciary standard, said Newt Rusted, president of the Institute for Fiduciary Standard. The 17-page proposal is open to public comment until August 21st of this year. The CFP board is going to hold public forums around the country between July 24th and July 27th, after which they'll take a look at modifying or finalizing the proposal. Now, will large firms take the CFP board's expanded fiduciary duty seriously and really make the necessary adaptations to comply with it? Well, look at it this way. If they don't, you have to ask whether or not the CFP board is really prepared to enforce and discipline the CFP certificates who are not in compliance with the new CFP fiduciary rules. The rule proposal also includes compensation definitions. The board clarified how they work, especially with fee-only labels, and has caused much controversy for advisors. Mr. Kaler basically had said he had to sell a stake in a real estate firm to his wife's trust in order to remain a fee-only advisor. He still thinks that there's a need to step back and take a broader look about the CFP pay rules. He believes it's serving a client in a fiduciary manner that matters the most, and not so much dabbling in the fee structure of many of the companies who employ certified financial planners. So there you have it. The CFP board is trying to hold the members' feet to the fire to ensure that they are working in your best interest and not necessarily in their company's best interest, although, truth be told, most companies are in alignment with that. So with that being said, we're going to take another look at the markets before we do our break. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is sitting at 21,426.96. That's up 17.4. S&P 500 is at 2439. up less than a point. The NASDAQ is down 16.5. Taking a look at Europe, European markets closed lower as the ECB's Draghi has defended the easy money policy. FTSE dropped about 0.2%. The DAX was down almost 0.8%, and the CAC was down 0.7%. Oil prices are currently up a tad, just under $1 a barrel, at $44.36. Gold prices up about 80 cents an ounce to 12.41.20. And the 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.198. People are still waiting and waiting and waiting for more data. So that's where we're at. When we come back, I think what we'll do is Tony and I will go through some interesting tidbits. The By the Numbers segment brought to us by MFS. You are listening to Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And we're back. Beautiful day out there. I think everybody would rather be out there shopping or playing or just generally having a good time. And we are here at the radio station at Hunterdon County Chamber Radio talking about some things about money. And I think we'll talk a little bit about numbers, Tony. First interesting article that I looked at, a little tidbit, not so much article, funding a retirement. You know, the S&P 500 has averaged 9.1% per year, and that's positive, total return, over the 25 years ending 12/31/2016. Now, what does that mean? A lump sum of $903,388 in a pre-tax account. Why they came up with that number, I have no idea until I read further, will sustain a 20-year payout of $100,000 per year, $2 million of gross distributions before taxes, assuming the funds continue to earn 9.1% annually. So they came up with that crooked number in order to justify the even numbers that they put there later in the statement. This mathematical calculation ignores the ultimate impact of taxes on the account, which are due upon withdrawal. The hypothetical example here is for illustrative purposes only and is not intended to predict the returns of any investment choice. Rates of return will vary over time, particularly for long-term investments. There is no guarantee the selected rate of return can be achieved, and the performance of the investment will fluctuate with market conditions and will vary. Now, the other thing I want to point out, now, this example was talking about a 9.1% per year total return over 25 years ending 12/31/16. If you take a look at the last 10 years, the S&P 500 index has only averaged 6.7%. So let's not get too caught up with higher numbers, although they are much nicer to have. The reality is, of late, the numbers have been a little bit lower. And what you would be expecting in your portfolio would be different still, taking into account, you know, the costs of owning an S&P 500 index investment, or any fees that you would pay to an advisor that you're working with. So, yeah, when it comes to quoting numbers, you have to be really careful and get down into the weeds to understand how they were derived. Tony, what do you have?
So, in the years from 1929 to 1941, the S&P 500 was down on a total return basis in 9 out of those 13 years. In the last 14 years, 2003 to 2016, the S&P 500 has been down on a total return basis in just 1 of those last 14 years.
Wow. Not bad.
No.
Not bad at all. Well, let's talk about job openings, because that's something that's near and dear to the hearts of business owners here in Hunterdon County. We have job openings out there, folks. The problem that we're running into is that we don't have a skilled labor force to take those jobs. Now, there are 6 million job openings nationwide as of April 30th, 2017, and the largest number ever reported happens to be that number. And that's been tracked, let's see, since December of 2000. That number has climbed 2.3 million from 3.7 in the last 4 years. For our nation's 6.9 million out-of-work citizens, the record total of job openings may point, as I mentioned earlier, to a shortage of skills that has prevented them from gaining employment, and that is according to our Department of Labor.
All right. Who is impacted the most? The recent one-page tax reform outline released by the White House back on April 26th of this year included a proposal to eliminate the deductibility of state and local taxes and property taxes on the 1040 return. The plan would increase individual income taxes by an estimated $1.3 trillion over the next 10 years. Taxpayers reporting at least $100,000 of adjusted gross income would pay 75% of the higher taxes. Good or
I'm
bad?
Confused. I keep hearing politicians talking about how the tax bill is only going to favor the wealthy. Well, I guess if you're making over $100,000 a year, you're not really wealthy. Maybe you are in certain parts of the country, but here in Hunterdon County, that's hardly going to put you in the top 5%. Speaking of percentage, hey, let's go top hat. The top 1% of U.S. taxpayers, do you know what they paid? 39.5% of the total federal income taxes collected for the 2014 tax year. And that is not just coming out of different news services that you may or may not agree with. It's actually from the Internal Revenue Service. So I imagine that that number is at least going to be the same. I know looking at the numbers for the proposed tax reform bill, did not put a smile on my face when I saw what it would do to my taxes. But then again, it does simplify things, and anything that would cut our corporate tax rates will bring more jobs into this country, which will eventually add more revenue to the government coffers to cover the cost of our entitlement program. So instead of your property taxes going up to pay for your neighboring county's people, maybe that won't be necessary. So we'll have to see what the final bill looks like when they eventually get around to writing it instead of listening to what the politicians are claiming at this point about something that has yet to be written. I always find that interesting. It's very important. 58% of American retirees consider their monthly Social Security benefit to be a major source of retirement income. And, you know, I thought that was higher. Certainly out here, that would make more sense. But, you know, in other parts of the country, it definitely is the mainstay of all of their income sources combined to cover the cost of living of people. So 58%, I would think that's actually an improvement from 10 years ago, but I could be wrong. Well, lots of things to talk about. Every week there's always a change. And, you know, just like some of our government people, I would caution you to be careful about the stuff that you hear on the news or read on the internet, because in many cases there is an agenda afoot, folks. And regardless of your political leanings, dealing with facts is always a better way to go when it comes to making decisions about what actions you need to take as it relates to your financial position and how that's going to affect your lifestyle and your family, both now and in the future. So there's a lot of stuff going on out there as it relates to healthcare, as it relates to tax law, as it relates to regulations on how you are receiving your investment advice. I encourage all of you to pay attention, stay engaged, go out, grab that filter, you know, filter the facts from the fiction, and try to apply that to your lives. If you're having problems with that, you can always give us a call. You know, we could be reached at 908-713-6600. If you have a financial advisor, lean more heavily on them than before because we are living in perilous times as we go through all of these changes that will affect you and your family one way or another. So that is the message today. And while you're thinking about all of these heavy things, get outside, do some shopping, play with the kids, you know, support the different organizations here in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, who other people rely on for their food, for their housing, for their health care, their day-to-day, and a lot of good people out here. So go out there, support their businesses. That's the revenue that they use to make their contributions. Hunterdon County is a great place to live, and when you're out there and you're buying, just remember, buy Hunterdon for that reason and buy often.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Trump administration warning that the Syrian regime will pay a heavy price if it carries out another chemical weapons attack. A White House statement saying Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's forces appear to be preparing for a chemical weapons attack like one back in April. Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware reacting a bit negatively to the White House statement.
Frankly, of this threat of renewed action against Assad for his potential use of chemical weapons again against his own people is a reminder that we are still waiting for a strategy from President Trump.
The deadly poison gas attack in April is what prompted President Trump to then order airstrikes against the military air base in Syria where the poison gas attack originated. Meanwhile, Russia's responding, denouncing the U.S. warning to Syria and claiming that there's no sign Syrian forces are preparing any such attack. This is USA Radio News.
For years, Ovation Cell Therapy has been repairing dry, damaged, flat, lifeless air. I use Ovation and love it. What are you waiting for? The unique breakthrough cell therapy treatment uses amino acids, key nutrients, and vital proteins to nourish the scalp and treat the hair from root to end. You won't find a treatment like cell therapy in any other hair care line, and it's 100% guaranteed. Whether you have split ends, curly hair, flat hair, damaged hair, or hair that's breaking off, Ovation Cell Therapy will work for you. Get your healthy hair back. Now is the perfect time at OvationHair.com. It's the perfect time because this week is free shipping for a limited time, so hurry and save money now. Go to OvationHair.com and new customers can save even more by selecting USA Radio News at checkout. That's OvationHair.com. Free shipping is on now, but it ends soon, so hurry.
Senate Republican leaders need all the votes they can muster if they're going to pass the health care bill they've worked up. But now Republican Senator Susan Collins says she's going to be voting against it.
Collins vowed to vote no on a motion to move the bill forward, adding that the measure threatens health care in rural areas.
That's Tom Roberts reporting. Meanwhile, Joe Gomez reports several medical associations are coming out against it.
The Congressional Budget Office says the Senate health care bill would leave about 22 million Americans without health insurance by 2026. That has the American Medical Association joining more than a dozen medical groups in opposing the bill. AARP also weighed in against the bill yesterday, the nation's biggest senior activist group, is especially upset about the part of the bill that would allow insurers to charge older adults up to five times as much as younger people for coverage.
NASA says it does not have evidence of alien life, at least not yet, despite claims made in a viral video. The video claiming the agency would soon be ready to announce that we are not alone. This is USA Radio News.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom Sleep Gels. They're non-habit-forming and quickly help you